Hi, I'm Megan.
And I'm Sarah.
We're two moms with eight kids between us from preschool to teen.
This is the show where we help you feel better about the mom you are and share our own parenting tips and personal stories.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 152 of the Mom Hour. Sarah, I just had that moment again where I didn't know whether to say 152
I thought
or 152.
It rolled right off the tongue.
Thank you. I am Megan Francis here, as always, with Sarah Powers. Hey, Sarah.
Hey, Megan. I'm recording this from a little girls' getaway weekend.
Yes, and I'm recording this from my new house.
We're like all over the place lately.
I've
recorded from Hawaii. You're changing houses every week. And just in case you guys think we're like in NPR studios, we're not.
We're not. And last week, I think I recorded in my old house's kitchen because all of my furniture is gone, but the only internet I had was at that house.
Right.
And then today, I finally have internet in my new house, but I had to go back to the old house
to get my mic
because I didn't have it with me. So it's just like, I don't know, it's a comedy of errors over here right now.
Well, but here we are.
Here we are. I'm really excited about this episode. We are talking about what's great and maybe not so great about our eight. And of course, we mean our eight combined children.
Yes.
You know, one thing that I think, Sarah, I think always drew me to you when we became friends was like, I think we both share about our kids' foibles and challenges without being super complainy.
Yeah.
And I think we can both, we both love talking about our kids without being super braggy.
Yes.
I feel like I'm bragging about us right now, but like that's a quality I really like in another mom. It's like really appreciating their kids, but also being really honest.
And I think it comes down to like appreciating childhood, like sort of getting a kick out of kids. And I think you and I are both like that. So this is fun to do. And we've actually, every once in a while when we do this type of episode where we really just like talk about our eight kids and what they're up to, we always get good listener feedback. So while it might feel like we're talking about ourselves, I'm hoping that we are. We're talking about our kids.
We're being a little self-indulgent this time.
I know that listeners kind of feel like, first of all, they always love getting a peek into like the phases that are coming up ahead. So if you don't have 18 and 14-year-olds like you do, Megan, then that's fun to hear. But also, I think it does give moms permission to talk about their kids in this way, which is like celebrating them, but also being honest about what's hard.
Yeah. All necessary.
So we're going to go through all eight. And
We're just going to go one by one and just.
We've done this maybe two or three times and kind of given a different context each time. But I realized we've always done a different order. One time it was age order. One time I pulled ages out of a hat. Do you remember that? It was like random.
Oh my gosh. I forgot.
So today I was like, let's do alphabetical because that will mix them up in a different way. So anyway, that's what we're going to do. First up, let's talk about our sponsor, which is Health IQ. So Health IQ can save you big money on life insurance if you live a healthy lifestyle. So just like you can save money on car insurance if you're a good driver, this is the same kind of concept, only if you are, say, like a marathon runner or a weightlifter or a yogi or a vegetarian, and we know a lot of our listeners do live really health-conscious lifestyles, then Health IQ, you take their quizzes on their website to see if you qualify, and then they do all the work to see if they can save you like up to 33% on a life insurance policy. So it's really
so cool.
Very cool.
It is. And I know shopping for life insurance can be a little overwhelming sometimes. So I love that they have that kind of, it sounds like a soup to nuts thing too. They don't just connect you with the insurer, but they actually lead you through the whole process.
They totally lead you through the whole process. And it's really based on data. You know, that's what life insurance is about, is like all this data on how long people live, life expectancy, all of that crazy stuff. But what they've realized is that healthy lifestyles significantly, obviously, we know this, reduce your risk for heart disease and diabetes and all these other things. So why not use this data for good, which is to show that you really are at lower risk for those diseases and therefore deserve a break. Just exactly like the concept of saving money on your car insurance if you're a good driver. So so like you said, they take everybody through the process, a great company. So if you, the thing to do to see if you qualify is take one of the fun lifestyle quizzes on their website. So to do that and see if you qualify, you head to healthiq.com/TMH. That's TMH as in the Mom Hour, and see if you qualify and get a free quote. So again, it's healthiq.com/TMH.
Love it.
All right.
So who's up first? You got the only A. The only
I know.
A name in the
so
bunch,
we'll go so alphabetical. And right. I threw in here real quick, like, if we want to say something that's great about this stage, something that's hard, and something this kid is really into. But, you know, I always like to put structure and then you can ignore it if you want.
Yeah.
For me, it's helpful. Okay. So Allegra is, let's see, this episode will come out right smack in the middle of April. So she will be like 10 days away from turning 10. So she's turning 10 at the very end of April, which has me having all the feels about a decade of motherhood. Of course, it's like all about me for some reason. Like when your oldest child yeah. turns a new age, it's also sure. your anniversary of becoming a mom. So yeah. coming up on 10 years, I think what's great right now and what I'm really appreciative of is she's really into me and wanting to spend special time with me. And I think I just have this really acute realization that, you know, teenage years are coming and I'm never one to like be pessimistic about the teenage years. I've loved being surrounded by you and other moms who have great relationships with their teenagers. So I'm not doom and gloom about it, but I do know that a natural part of that is separating from, you know, like wanting your mom to be your BFF. And that's normal and natural. So I think the fact that she does really want to spend, like she'll ask if we can go on a date or have special Aww. Time together. So I'm just really appreciative of that and trying to say yes, like all of the times, so like,
right.
you know, right. take that while I can. Another fun thing is she's starting to stay home alone for short amounts of time. I think I mentioned that briefly when we talked about mm-hmm. tweens. And that's kind of cool. She feels really proud and I feel fine about it. Like I haven't felt worried or I don't know, it just is a milestone for us since she's my first kid that I can say, hey, you can stay home alone for the next 20 minutes.
Right.
Hard, I would say, if there's something hard, it's just that the same thing, like this tween phase is very much like no longer being super into little kid stuff. So I feel yeah. like I enjoyed this window and I knew it was a window that would end where like, let's say Violet got to like 3, 3.5, like, and I had three kids who really could pretty much enjoy doing the same things when we went on vacation, if we went out to do something, going to a movie. And I knew that like Violet had to get into that cohort and then that pretty soon Allegra would start to pull out of it. And that's how it works. So yeah. like things like choosing a family movie or like when we were on a family vacation recently, like choosing activities, she just sometimes gets a little, I would say like not grumpy, but like disinterested in doing yeah, what the rest yeah, of us yeah. are doing. Again, that's supposed to happen. But I mean, I think it's just a shift for all of us. Like, oh, it's okay if you'd rather stay back at the hotel room because you don't want to go down the water slide again. You know, like that's all right. Yeah. And then something she's really into, I just put a few things, slime, still the slime craze.
Yeah.
Making it, wanting to make it, it never turns out. Baking, she's been into baking for a while. And then she's super into the soundtrack to The Greatest Showman movie, which I don't particularly love the soundtrack. I thought the yeah. movie was entertaining, but it's cute. I mean, it's cute to have her like right. have some music that she really just wants very, to put on repeat.
It's a very, I felt very meh about that movie.
Yeah.
But it's a great, like, it is like a great kid. It's kind of like the soundtrack for Frozen.
Yeah.
It really wasn't my cup of tea, but I see why kids were into it.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
And I was entertained by the movie. I thought I saw it in the theater and I saw it with her. And so the movie didn't bug me quite as much, but I don't think that, like, the music, it all sounds kind of the same to me and a yeah. little bit auto-tuned.
Yes.
Or by auto-tuned. A lot auto-tuned. But it's still cute. Like, for her birthday, she yeah. asked for a Greatest Showman poster for her room. And, like, that's the first time she's wanted, like, you know, that's, any kind yes. of pop cultural reference poster for her
that's
room.
Awesome.
It's just cute. Yeah.
yeah
all right. So that's Allegra.
That's Allegra. All right. So Clara's up next.
Yeah.
Okay. So Clara, I just have to tell you one thing. I think I mentioned this in our episode about moving, mm-hmm. but it just, like, Clara is so excited about this new house. I mean, she just loves it. She's like, this is, they went in the kitchen. They're like, and Clara especially, it's so nice. I mean, the kitchen is teeny tiny and they're like these old, like, not old, like they're clean and nice, but yeah. they're like apartment appliances. You know yeah. what I mean? Like a small white fridge, like
yeah. Yeah.
a small white, you know, electric stove.
Yeah.
She's like, wow, these are so nice. So, she's so super appreciative of everything, which and she's just a delight to be
and
around.
And she probably doesn't remember moving into your last house very well.
No, not
so
really.
So she has a more four. Of a big kid sensibility yes. about yes. this newness. I love that.
Yeah, I should mention she's 9. She turned 9 in March. So
right.
She's still a little kid, but she's definitely breaching, like, kind of coming up on that tweenness.
Yeah.
And she's just sweet. She's appreciative and sweet. She loves spending time with me. Another thing that was kind of cute but also kind of a hard thing, like, these kind of sometimes they cross over, right? So
yes,
when we move here
a lot,
one of the things that we've been doing is watching Full House together.
Yes.
And when we moved into this house, like the living and dining room area is small. And I was like trying to figure out how to lay it out. And I finally said, there's no room for a TV in here. And I don't care. I don't watch TV very much. And I don't really want it to take up that much wall space. I'd rather have my record player or my books.
And
or whatever.
Where you put your TV, like then it influences like the rest of your furniture.
Everything.
It has a big impact. Yeah.
Like I would have, there was only one wall it really would have worked on, which would have meant I would have had to lay everything out completely differently. So I was like, you know what? No, I'm not having a TV in this room. And she's like, well, but where are we going to watch Full House? And I said, well, we can just watch it on my computer in my room. And she's like, but that's not the same. So she's very like she really likes, even though she's embracing this new life and this new space, she's also very concerned about certain things always staying the same.
Yeah.
And so that's like good and hard. Like it's cute, but it's also, I think it ties into kind of her overall anxiety.
Yes.
She worries a lot about little stuff. She worries about things that are totally outside of her control. And that's one thing I've had to be really careful about, not being grumpy when the kids are peppering me. Like I'm just trying to move and the kids are peppering me with questions that I'm not prepared to answer, or I just don't want to answer right now. And I want to be like, guys, just chill out. It'll all work out. Okay. But I mean, for her, it's a big deal. Like little
and
things that are dumb to me are a big deal to her.
I feel like this episode might be like one third about kids with anxiety, because I'm going to have things to say about that too. And we both have, but I totally agree that like those questions and the, it is anxiety at the root. And when you realize that, it doesn't make it easier necessarily.
No,
but it is. It they're not doing it conscious. To be annoying.
Right. It makes me more conscious about the way I answer.
Yeah.
Because other, it would be easier for me to be like, you guys like are really annoying me. Stop.
Yeah.
Because they are really annoying me.
Yeah.
But I have to, you know, kind of think about where they're coming from.
Yeah.
And their world is shifting. And
yeah.
like they want to know. Owen was just fixated on his bus stop. And I can talk about that later too. But like, where's my bus stop going to be? I was like, dude, I have no idea. It's going to be around here. I don't know. Like, we'll worry about that. Like, what time will the bus get me? I don't know. I can't think about that right now.
Right. It's like kids, when they get into that line of question, cannot sort out like what needs to be answered now and what can be set aside. And I relate to that because I am someone who deals with kind of anxiety and like fixation on details. But I think I just have an adult sensibility of like, okay, I do want to know the answer to that, but I can put it off for a day or whatever.
Right, 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 right. Like we know how to prioritize because we have experience.
Don't. Yeah.
Like we have experience of moving and having things work out.
Yes,
like we have
the
life experience. Yes. We know that information will be revealed later and it'll be okay. They don't have that experience yet.
Yes.
So I just keep trying to keep that in mind. And Owen's one, but Clara is like super intense about certain things. So she's, you know, she was a little worried about sleeping in her new room, but she's right across the hall from me and it's been working out pretty well the last few nights. So it's really working out well. And for her, I think, you know, she's really into reading. Right now in particular, I think us not having a TV in the living room actually has helped, because while I'm doing all the millions of little household tasks that come with being in a new house, I'm like putting things away and putting little furniture together and hanging stuff up. She's just parked on the couch reading. So it's kind of her way of being near me. She's been reading all over the place. The book she's actually on right now is a Disney book. It's Mal's House of Spells, I think. And it's like,
is it one of those Descendants? I work in the elementary school library, so I feel like I'm like well qualified. Do I see
it's
all
Mel's
these books?
Book of Spells. Yes.
Okay.
I didn't know that either. Or it's Mel. Maybe it's Mel's Spellbook. Yes, it's Mel's Spellbook. It is a Descendants book, and I didn't know that until she started telling me like one of the kids in it is Cruella De Vil's
daughter
or something.
I know.
And I was like, wait, what? She's like, you know, the mean lady in 101 Dalmatians. Like, what are you talking about? And then she showed it to me, and I said, oh, I didn't understand how it works. So. She's reading that currently, but she's also working her way through the Little House series, and she's always got something home from the school library too. So she's often working.
I have
more
zero.
Than one.
I don't. I feel like my kids read equal parts garbage, what I think is garbage, and good stuff. And I'm not one ever to judge because I was the same.
Right.
So
I read the backs of shampoo bottles when I was a kid.
Me
so
too.
Whatever. If it's words and she's into it, I'm into it. So
it's funny.
Yeah. So that's her. That's Clara.
Am I next?
Clara.
Yeah. You got to go a few in a row. You have more kids than
I
do.
Because I've got all the lower alphabet names.
Yep.
All right. So Jacob is 20.
20.
This is going to be easy and fast because Jacob is in Southern California. He's in Pasadena, actually, living with my stepbrother and his wife.
And so, tell people like how that all played out if they aren't familiar.
Yeah.
Like he's been out, he graduated a year and a half ago.
A year and a half ago, and actually almost 2 years ago now. And just he didn't want to go to college right away. He's just kind of had a hard time figuring out what he's going to do next. I honestly think he's kind of a homebody, and I don't think he wanted to leave. Like, I think it was really hard for him to go to California. I think he wanted to be around the little Sibs, and I think he wanted to be around us, and just was kind of like not really his what's the word I'm looking for? The plane takes off on?
The runway.
The runway. His runway was getting a little long. Like, yeah. I needed him out. He's perfectly affable and easy to live with. Yeah. But, like, I would come in the kitchen and see his pot that he made, you know, rice in, and it bubbled over. And I would have, like, rage because I just don't need an adult child in my house right now. Right. Like, it just was too much, right? So I think that's a very natural thing. I think it happens.
Yeah.
It's like a biological imperative that you want to kick your kids out of your house.
Yep.
And we kind of have like this policy in our family and our extended family that kids can kind of float between houses. I've had my sister's kids have lived with me for years. And when they're older, and Jacob lived with my sister for a while when he first graduated, and that was a great experience for him. So I knew that my stepbrother had a room in his house available. And so he moved out there like 2 months ago and he got a job in fast food. He's palling around LA and seeing something completely different. So it's great. He's off doing his own thing. It's hard because he's off doing his own thing and he doesn't tell me a whole lot about what's going on with him. I get a lot of information secondhand through my stepbrother and his wife. And so, you know, it's hard to really respond about him because I don't exactly know what he's doing, which I'm sure is a healthy thing. We text, but he'll text me when he, you know, needs something or just to check in. But it's good for him.
You'll get to see him when you're out there for when we go to Mom 2.0 in just a few weeks.
Because it's in Pasadena. So I'll just be right down the road. Yeah.
That's really cool.
So that's Jacob. Oh gosh, I'm up again.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, wait a second. Isn't it H-I-J?
Oh, I'm not good at alphabetizing. I did this super quick and I was just like throwing the kids around. Okay.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I have a degree in English.
Isaac should have been first, but that's okay. That was hilarious. Right. I'm looking at this going, this doesn't seem right, but I can't figure out why. Isaac is 18.
Okay.
What's great about Isaac, he is super helpful. He's been awesome during this move. I will say we had a little moment of tension where he was kind of upset about something and it kind of came out as like being passive aggressive. And I was like, look, dude, you're 18. I need you to be part of the solution here. Help me out, you know? Yeah. And so we kind of had like a conversation about that. And since then, like, he's really like, there was a few days last week where the other kids were with John. So it was just Isaac and I, and I was trying to get a bunch of stuff done in the old house so that when they all came, we could just move furniture and stuff. And he was great. Like, he just really pitched in, and everything I've asked him to do, he's done without complaining. What's hard about Isaac is that he is so quiet and reserved. And he doesn't like to ask for things. So he doesn't make his needs known.
Which in a big family is hard.
And I can actually directly ask him and he'll be like, that's okay. I don't need this or that or whatever. And then I think what ends up happening is sometimes he gets resentful because if you don't ask, you don't get, especially in a big family. Like, you have to be a squeaky wheel sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's very easy for him to get kind of like, he was like the younger of the older kids, and now he's like the oldest of the younger kids. And I think like he's just gotten shuffled around more than anybody, I think. And I hope he's not resentful about it, but honestly, I wouldn't even know.
Yeah.
So that's tough. Sometimes it bubbles up in unexpected ways, and I have to be like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, let's talk about this. So
is he still super into music? Is that still his like?
Yes, that was guitar. What's awesome, what's been so great is now where his room is, I can hear him. Like, I could always hear him playing, but now I can really hear him. And so I wake up to it and I go to sleep to it. And he's really good. He doesn't play in front of people, but he's really good.
What?
And he works really hard.
What kind of like guitar, like what kind of music does he like or want to play?
Like, he plays, so he used to play a lot of Pink Floyd. He plays Jimi Hendrix. He plays lots of like picking, like I'm trying to think of like what would be an example. Like old style jazz and country and stuff. Like, it's hard for me
Like intricate guitar
plucking,
stuff.
Fingery stuff. He's kind of getting into that.
We're so technical.
And I know, right? And I mean, he's all over the place. And sometimes he just is playing like he's just trying to perfect something. So it doesn't sound like a song. It just sounds like him kind of jamming, and it's
does
fun.
Does he kind of write his own then when he's doing that kind
I
of
think
stuff?
So.
Yeah.
I think so, but it's hard to tell, and he doesn't talk about it a whole lot.
I wonder if he'll be, because he is the more like introverted, reserved, like he could be really into like music producing, or like, you know, maybe he doesn't want to perform, but maybe he wants to like go into sound editing, or like, you know, like the engineering side.
He doesn't want to. So we've been having a lot of conversations about school and like what his next plan is. And he really doesn't have any interest in like going off to a 4-year university right away. But he did go and talk to somebody at the local. We have like a, it's kind of like the career placement, and they have a youth specialist, and they were just talking about what's around here and what's available. And he's really interested in doing an apprenticeship for electrician work. He really wants to do is make money quickly and play guitar. I don't think he has any interest in, like, he just wants to have a good job so he can work and play guitar the rest of the time. And I think that electrical work makes a lot of sense, because he could potentially develop that into something to do with performance or
stage
tech. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, even just in our little experience in podcasting, we have come to really appreciate sound technicians,
good sound
of
editors.
All. Yeah.
Or he could become like a roadie. I mean, who knows? Yeah. Like, there's so many things he could do. And I think he's being really, really smart and strategic about the way he's handling his next steps. I think, he's going to be good.
That's awesome. I can't
wait
to hear.
He's got a couple sort of like plans sort of lined up, and he knows his next steps. And, you know, it's kind of funny because he did really well in his SATs and he forgot his calculator. So he was like, if I took him again with my calculator, I bet I could do even better. And I think he got like a 1300, which is good.
Yeah.
And so I was like, Isaac, you probably could. But he's like, I mean, I don't really like, I mean, I think he can probably do most of
the things he wants to do, even with that score. I mean,
so he's getting tons of college, like tons of letters and recruiters coming after him and stuff. And he's just like, you know, he's not easily swayed by other people, like what they want him to do or whatever. So I think he'll make the choice that's right for him. And I did have to tell you too, this is so cute. I said, well, do you think you want to, you know, like, would you be interested in moving to a bigger city or whatever? And he said, you know, I think I'd like to stick around for it right now and, you know, watch my little brothers and sister grow up. And I was like, that's like the cutest thing ever. So
it is really cute.
Oh,
that was like my favorite segment, because I feel like I don't know Isaac as well.
No,
you
don't.
Feel like you don't know.
It's hard to know.
It's hard to know if you're in the same house.
Yeah,
let
exactly.
Alone for me.
Oh, you know him by watching him, not because he tells you stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really cool. Okay. Well, I'm going to give you a break since you have 3 kids in a row, and we're going to take a quick sponsor break, and then you're going to be up again. But then I have 2 in a row. I mean, you went and had all these kids, Megan.
I know.
Okay. So we're going to talk about Prep Dish, and Prep Dish is a healthy subscription-based meal planning service. So the way it works is you sign up and you get meal plans and grocery lists and prepping instructions emailed to you. And the idea is you do the shopping all at once, you do the prep all at once, and then on your busy weeknights, these healthy meals come together really quick. So I know you guys have heard us talk about Prep Dish. I want to just say one thing I love that I haven't talked about is how the meal plans are laid out. So Allison gives you 4 dinners, 1 salad, 1 dessert, and 1 snack. And the reason I love this is because we know that there's nights for takeout and leftovers and stuff. So it's not a 7-night meal plan. The other thing is, because you're doing all the prep at one time, which can feel like a lot, not going to lie, you want to set aside a couple of hours on your weekend or whatever to do that prep. But you could also switch up the order or the nights on which you serve those meals, because the prep is done, the food stays, you know, stays good in its containers, and you can make a game time decision, which I love. Because one of the things I struggle with meal planning is when life happens and you'd plan to do this such and such a meal, but now you're out of the house till 5:30 and it no longer works. So this basically sets you up with the flexibility. You have 4 dinners prepped, and you can kind of like insert them in the week as the week develops. And then the salad, dessert, and snack are fun because I think it just gives, like, it keeps you trying new things. And maybe you have that salad for lunch one day, or maybe it's a side dish for the dinner. And, you know, so it's really cool the way those meal plans are designed.
Yeah, I love this. And it's a great way to eat a healthy diet that applies to you, because they have gluten-free, dairy-free, paleo options. You can customize, you can substitute, make that menu work for your family. And I was looking at the menu for the coming week, and they've got a slow cooker barbecue ribs with potato salad recipe that looks fantastic.
Yum.
Founder Allison is offering listeners a free 2-week trial to try it out, and you can't beat that. So go to prepdish.com/themomhour to get that deal. Again, that's prepdish.com/themomhour, and you will get your first 2 weeks free.
Yeah, there's no harm in trying it. It's a great option. Okay, so you have another child. But if you want, we can switch. Since I don't know how to use the alphabet anyway, if you want, we can switch read and
O. Yeah, you do okay. Read, and then we'll just pretend R comes before O.
Yeah, because I am using creative alphabetization anyway. Okay, so I'll do read. Read is coming up on 8. His birthday is the very beginning of June, so he's very close to turning 8. What's great about Reed is, so one thing recently, he's a highly, highly cerebral kid, not very physical. So anytime he has like a physical milestone, I get like all the warm, fuzzy, like proud mom feels. Whereas like, you know, it just depends on what's a harder thing for your kid. Like you root for them. So he got this hand-me-down bike from a neighbor a little while ago, and it has hand brakes and gears, so it's like a real, it's like a mountain bike, it's like a really nice bike that a kid down the street outgrew. And the bike was the right size for him, like his feet could reach the pedals, but his little tiny hands and his coordination, the whole like braking with your hands instead of pushing back on the pedal and then changing gears, it was like just too much. So we tried it a couple times, and he's never, you talked about bike riding recently, and he has been on a two-wheeler for maybe since he was like an early 7, but he's never been great. I mean, like every time you watch him get started, it's like it's his first time riding a bike.
You're like, oh, so, is this going to happen? Oh,
something made me want to try again. We waited, you know, several months. We had our kind of rainy, our California winter. And I said, well, let's, you're a little bigger now. Let's try the mountain bike again. And it was hard, and his, you know, little hands on these big hand brakes, you know, and he got it, and he loves it. Like he is wanting to bike ride every night after dinner. He's less tentative when he like steers, like he's starting to like go up, not up on the curb, but like up on a driveway. So he's like not just going in a straight line and then stopping, like really tentative like he was before. So that's just a cute example of like all kids, I think, struggle. Well, for sure, all kids struggle with something. And for him, it's more of like the physical skills that are harder. And so it's just fun to see those mastered and see how proud they feel. And like, he's just, when he does love something, it's like, it's the best thing ever. Like, I love riding my bike. Like, this is amazing. I love that. Yeah, it's really cute. Hard.
Owen is similar in that way that he gets into stuff like so hard. Like,
So hard right now. I mean, he is an anxiety kid in general. His anxiety comes out, I think, very differently from Clara's. His tends to come out in like inflexibility. Like he has a real hard time with plans changing or things not going the way. And his, instead of worrying, his comes out in being like super mad or even having a meltdown that looks like a 4-year-old meltdown, and he's almost 8. And it's, you know, the trajectory over time is it's gotten a lot better. But recently it's some bedtime stuff, and he's asking questions about death and what happens when we die, and all of that is really normal kid stuff, but he just like takes those things heavier. And then I think he's afraid to tell me that he's worried about that. So I was really glad that he did. And we actually have been using, I'll link this up in the show notes, but I was like, well, let's do some bedtime meditation, because it's almost like he, once he gets those thoughts started before bed, then they can't stop. And I think any adult who's had anxiety knows how that is. Like, you know that maybe something's irrational, or like that you should fill your head with happy thoughts, but once the scary thoughts start playing,
it's really hard to shut
shut them off. And so we there's the app Calm, which is a pretty popular meditation app, and I'm not a regular meditator, I'm not very good at it, but I did have that on my phone, and they have a section for kids, and I'll link this up in the show notes. So we have been doing just little they're just on my phone, and we just hit play, and it's 5 or 6 minutes of like bedtime meditation for kids. And it might even be a placebo, like the fact that I, you know, took the time to get out my phone and laid with him, and he'll be like, oh, I feel so calm now. And like, I don't, you know, I don't know if it's working or if it's just like he felt like mom offered some kind of solution, and so I feel safe that there's
like
something
the placebo
to do.
Effect a little bit, and is that as well?
Yeah. Like, oh, that's so awesome. we've been doing that, and you know, so he's anxiety is always like there for him. It's just kind of how it comes out. And I've mentioned this book before, but I read a book called The Opposite of Worry, and I actually thought of Clara too, because they describe the different types, and I know Clara a lot is like worrying people will be mad, or worried about getting in trouble, or worried about, and like Reed doesn't have any of that. So it's so interesting how like these, it shifts shapes in different forms depending on the kid. So it's a great book. It's called The Opposite of Worry.
She can't even, I don't know if we talked about this, but we were watching an episode of Full House, and the ones where like someone lies early in the show.
Oh yeah.
And then you kind of know through the whole show they're going to get in trouble.
Oh, she and can't that's even too hard. It.
Like, she has to cover her face.
Yeah.
Because she can't watch. She's like, why do they do that?
And do you know, I don't know if I've ever told you this. I have that only not with people getting in trouble. I have that with, like, punked or candid camera situations where someone,
yeah, you did tell me that.
Everyone else is in the know. Even when it's supposed to be funny. Like, those shows, no, oh, what's the one that they tried
those.
To, I have a true anxiety reaction. Like, I can't even really let my mind imagine them. And, like, my whole family makes fun of me because it's, like, a weird thing to be anxious about. But I can feel Clara's pain because that's how I feel when it's, like, a they tried to relaunch it. It was like, what would you do? Like, what would you do if you saw this conversation happening in a restaurant? Yes. And then they stage it and everyone around is super uncomfortable. I have a feeling in my stomach just even explaining that. Anyway, that was a long way of saying I'll link up that book, The Opposite of Worry. It was fascinating reading about kind of the different ways it plays out in different kids. And I did think of Clara and the little that I know about her when reading that section, because I thought, gosh, Reed doesn't. He doesn't play out like that at all. But then he has the inflexibility and the, like, being kind of obsessed with, like, what went wrong and what to do next time. Like wanting to, like, fix things. And anyway, so it's lovely. And then I was going to say, what is he into right now? And then I just added, whatever he's into obsessively. And you have said that about Owen. Like, yeah, he got out this, we have this paper airplanes instruction. Like, it comes with the paper. It's kind of like origami paper. And then instructions for making really complicated paper airplanes, which, yeah, Megan, you and I share spatial reasoning struggles.
Yes.
And there is nothing harder for me than following instructions for folding a paper airplane. Like, it's pretty much the worst thing you could give me to do. And of course, Brian was, like, traveling a lot. Reed wanted help. And, like, so when he gets into something, it's really hard for him to, like, oh, why don't we not do paper airplanes and instead do this? Like, that's not an option. He is going to do paper airplanes, right, until he has done every one in the book. And anyway, he's also into Pokemon, has been for a long time. Lego, I feel like, is almost not, it's not phasing out. The Legos are still out, but he's more likely to putter over there and, like, build something from his imagination. He doesn't, like, covet the sets as much anymore, which is probably a good thing for our Lego collection. Yeah. But yeah, anyway.
Yeah, I was just thinking about when my house was absolutely littered with paper airplanes for a while when Owen got into
really?
Him.
Yes.
But he would ask me to help him. At first, he always wanted me to make them for him or, like, help him make them, and mine were just awful. Like,
right.
I can't even get the basics of a good paper airplane down. They all look like they were made by a four-year-old. I mean... It finally was like, you know what? This is not, you should just go on YouTube and find it. Like, I'm actually making you worse at this.
Yeah.
So go to someone else to help you. So,
well, yeah, I should look at YouTube. Because this instructional thing, it's like in his mind, because there are instructions and the paper comes with it, like, you should be able to follow it to a T. And I get that. But I cannot look at those instructions on a two-dimensional instruction sheet and make that happen with the paper. It's physically impossible for my brain. I can't do it. And that was very disappointing to him because I was no help. I was help with the bedtime anxiety. I'm good for some things. But
Isn't it funny when kids start realizing you can't actually do everything?
Right.
But I'm like, no, it takes them a while.
I'm not just putting you off because I want to do the dishes. Like, I literally am trying as hard as I can to help you, and I am no good at this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, my kids have learned that lesson the hard way several times over. So okay. Should I now go back to Owen?
Yeah, go right along our alphabet from R to O.
Our made-up alphabet that we do. okay, so where do I start? Owen is 12. Man, Owen is a funny kid. I think I told you once before, like, I can't have a favorite, and I don't.
Right.
But everybody has a soft spot for Owen.
Yeah.
He's just funny and adorable. Like, he looks like a mouse. Like, he's got
these
glasses.
He is so stinking cute. Like, just visually.
Yes.
I mean, you're going to tell the Instagram video story, right? Because I don't think we've talked about Owen before.
Which one?
The dancing one recently.
Oh, the flossing?
Yes.
Yes. So he, like, if you're listening, you might not know what flossing is. It's that crazy dance that kids do these days. That looks kind of like you have a piece of floss, I guess, between your legs. I think that's what it's supposed to look like, but it's
yeah,
just,
like, your arms are going sideways.
Yeah,
down low.
And your body is going. Yeah. So anyway, well, you have to just watch the video. But Owen, it kind of like Reed, when he wants to do something, he masters it. So it wasn't good enough for him to yo-yo. He had to, like, master yo-yoing, and it wasn't good enough for him to. So that can have its downsides because they become obsessive about things like video games, and that can become a problem. But, you know, sometimes they use that for good instead of evil. And right now he's an expert flosser, and he can do it ridiculously fast.
Yeah. Yeah, like, this
it's
video
hilarious.
Is so good.
So we'll post that. But he, so I would say he's been flossing a lot lately. He's been flossing a lot. He's been playing this game Fortnite, which is apparently where they learned, he learned about flossing. That's kind of where flossing came from.
Okay.
Because I think it was like an, it's called an emote. And I think it, I think what that means is like if you do a certain move or whatever, there, I think there's like a little animation that okay. you can,
and this it's is a, like a, like a
character
a,
flossing.
Okay. Video game, like PlayStation style or like what kind of
it's,
game?
It's Xbox and I okay. think it's
like a game console game.
I believe so. Yes. I'm not really very good at video games.
I know me
I
neither. Should
look, it might actually be, it might be computer.
Okay.
It might just be on the computer. But it's like a multi, you know, massively yeah. multiplayer online yeah. game or whatever. And yeah, so it's hilarious. And so I'm just trying to think of like how to even describe him. He's just like always funny, dry, smart, very easygoing. Mm-hmm. Except the hard thing about Owen is he's super like if he needs to join a debate club or something mm-hmm. because he will argue his point to the death, even if his point has no merit, even if he knows his point has no merit, he will still defend it as though it is the most like valid argument ever made. So here's an example. Moved into the new house. Mm-hmm. He didn't understand why we couldn't just take the Wi-Fi from the old house. Okay. So I explained it like three times and this became, he's like, well, mom, no. All you have to do is take the modem. We have internet at the old house. We can just move it here. And I said, no, the service isn't hooked up yet, so we can't. And he just like, I think he, by the end, understood like that it's not just because like William was joking that he was going to go collect Wi-Fi in buckets and bring it over. He's like, I'm just going to go get a jar at the old house and collect some Wi-Fi out of the air and put the top on the jar really fast and bring it over. So Owen knew at some point he was wrong.
Right.
But he still like just wouldn't let it go.
Yeah.
He just wouldn't. He's like, no, 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 no. You just get the router and you get the modem and you hook it up and then we'll have internet. And I was finally like, dude, I can't talk to you about this anymore. And I've got a million Owen stories like that.
Yeah.
He will just dig in and double down on anything that he believes to be true or wants. Sometimes it's just that he wants it to be true.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So there was another story about that was when we were, we went out west a couple of years ago and we passed John Wayne's birthplace.
Mm-hmm.
And he had in his head that that was John Williams, the guy who wrote the Star Wars
okay.
movies,
yep.
or music,
yep. mm-hmm.
and argued with us all for a good like hour that John Wayne wrote the Star Wars music. And finally, with like everyone's dying laughing because right. he just wanted it to be true or he yeah. wanted to argue it so badly that we yeah. just couldn't even.
Well, we couldn't it's even reminding me. Okay, you and this is major like going down a random path here. But you and I have both gotten into Enneagram in the past. And it's reminding me of the Enneagram Type 8, which is the challenger that I yep. have learned a little bit about. And one of like the challenging or quote unquote arguing can really be like the way people almost connect to you or like the way that
yeah. oh, okay.
like not even necessarily a negative, although it can come across as negative, but I wonder if he's an eight.
He might. Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me actually. Yeah.
Huh. That's funny.
Oh,
non-Enneagram people are like, what are you talking
what?
About? But you, should, you know, who
everyone
you are.
Should be an Enneagram,
Enneagram
person.
People. You know who you are. Okay. Owen, anything else about Owen?
No, I mean, he's just into flossing and Fortnite and yo-yoing my house.
And he's adorable.
And he's adorable.
He
That's
is
all.
Adorable. Okay, so I'll do Violet. And Violet mm-hmm. is five and change. She turned five in January. So she's not kindergarten this year. It's her final year at home. Great about Violet. So she is kind of a budding reader. Just the very beginning of sounding out words. They do a little bit of that at school and some of it's just happening, you know, she's just surrounded by people who can read and right. she does not like to be like coached or prompted. And that's not really my style anyway, but so I'm really careful not to say like, oh, do you want to try and sound that out? Like I might have with other kids because she can get real sensitive if she thinks she's not doing something right. And that I think comes from being the youngest, but I posted a video on Instagram yesterday, but it was part of a longer video and it was so funny. She's really finally sounding out words where, you know, so it was a little Bob book and the sentence was the dog is fat and it was a fat dog in this Bob book. So she says, you know, I help her with the, cause that you can't really sound it out, dog. I helped her a little bit with is. And then she really easily on the video, you can watch this. She goes, at, fat. And then she starts cracking up because for her, like, it sounded, she's like, that's rude. Like, they shouldn't put that in a Bob book for kids. I don't know why she thought it was so funny that the sentence was the dog is fat, but it was also this really sweet moment of like, she's decoding words, like she's reading. And like, so I don't know. I'm always a sucker for the beginning of like reading and language. So that was really funny. She's a party, you know, she is fun and funny to be around. I'm just trying to kind of enjoy the last few months of having her home 2 days a week with me, like my little go to Costco buddy. Like, she's really fun to just pal around with. She's harder. Okay, so I'll go right into the hard. The hard is she's always, her whole life, been hard to hang around the house with. And I'm a homebody. I like to get stuff done around the house. And my other kids, as they progressed, they just got a little better at playing by themselves. I think I messaged you this like a week ago. I was like, remember how you didn't send Clara to preschool and she would just like do art all day while you worked? Right. I was like, that is not Violet. Like, she needs constant social interaction. She's like an extreme extrovert. So she needs entertainment, and not in the form of like someone entertaining her. She just needs a warm body. And so it's like, mom, 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 mom. And I mean, it's hard to get even 20 minutes to myself if she's at home with me. So we spend our home days bopping around and doing stuff, and she'll go to the gym, daycare. And I think she's going to love kindergarten because I think she really thrives when there's lots to do and see. And then something she's into is gymnastics. She's just doing it once a week, but she really likes it. She's pretty good at it. I don't think she's quite as bendy as Clara, but she is flexible and she's pretty strong. And it's little kid gymnastics, but it's fun to see her. She hasn't done a ton of activities where she's like, well, she hasn't done a ton of activities at all, but not any that like I can see her really maybe continuing with. And she really likes gymnastics. So yeah,
that's Violet. That's awesome. She's a cutie.
That's Violet. She is.
Are we back to...
That's back to you. Just back to William.
William. William, sweet William. William's 14. He's a giant.
Yeah. Suddenly, like, how tall? So the last picture I saw, it was back to back, like, the same. He's got to be way taller than you now.
He's, like, 6'1".
Oh, my gosh.
It just happened. I mean, and he's stretching out now. Like, he was always a little more, like, I don't know, like, he's been a stout kid, and suddenly he's just, like, stretched. So he's, I mean, but he's big, like, he, like, has a football player body.
Yeah.
And he's just ridiculously tall. He just got his hair cut super short. He looks so handsome. He had, like, a kind of a Bieber dude for a while. And he's got glasses now. So he's just, like,
wait, I need a picture of William. I feel like I can't even picture this.
Yeah, I will
this.
Send you one. He's, like, he looks like a dude. Like, he looks like he's suddenly in high school. And he's in eighth grade. But he's going to go into high school, like, looking like a man.
I remember those guys in high school being like, yes. And I was so little, I was like, looked like I was in fifth grade my freshman year of high school. So I was like, what is happening?
Yeah. So he, tonight is actually our opening night for Annie Jr. that I'm directing, and he's in it. He plays President Roosevelt.
Nice. That's so perfect.
And also several different, he plays several different chorus parts, like in the Servant Ensemble and the NYC Ensemble. And so he's like a theater kid right now. He's like just really into that and loving it. He's also in a production of The Little Mermaid at school. Like, he wants to play tennis this year. He's just really becoming his own person. Like, he's so dry, and his sense of humor is just like, sometimes I'm not even sure if he's trying to be funny. Like, he trolls me a lot, and he'll just say something. It's ridiculous. And I know, I'm like, I have to stop him and be like, are you being serious right now? Or are you just messing with me? Because I'm not always 100% sure.
Right.
The hard thing about Will is, of all of my kids, I don't want to say he expects the most. He just kind of rides me a lot about stuff. So he got this idea that we were going to move into the fancy subdivision that all of his, you know, a lot of his friends live in. Mm-hmm. And I shot that down about a year ago. I was like, honey, I probably will never have the money to live there. But even if I did, that's just not my thing. I'd probably buy an old house downtown, not a big house out in a subdivision. And he's just like, okay, but, and then he comes at it from a different angle. And then he comes at it from a different angle. And I'm like, no, stop asking me about this. So he just rides me really hard. And he has, like, I don't know if it's because he tends to hang out with a lot of kids who have a lot, or if it's just because he has this sort of sense about the world, like, but of course I should have that. You know, it's just like, and it's not, I don't want to use the word entitlement. That makes him sound like a brat. And that's not what I mean.
Yeah.
It's just sort of this idea that, like, well, but I should have that, right? Yeah. Like, and I have to let him down constantly. Yeah. And be like, no, actually, that's just not our life, and you have plenty, and you do not go without.
Right.
So that's the hardest thing about him, but he's just a great kid. We've always called him good old reliable William, and he is just reliable. You ask him to do something, he does it. It always surprises me. In fact, sometimes I know my expectations of him are a little too high because it surprises me when he doesn't do, like, yeah. I'm taken aback when he doesn't do something he said he would do. And then I'm like, my reaction to it is almost out of proportion. What do you mean? Why didn't you do that? You said you would, you know, it's just normal kid stuff. You forgot or whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm like, wait, what?
That is so easy for that to happen. I feel like that happens with me more with Allegra and being like patient with her siblings. And then when she isn't, I'm like, what the heck was that? And then I'm like, oh, like your siblings are jerks and you are the world's most patient person with them. And you're a normal 9-year-old. So I can cut you some slack.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, that's funny. Okay. Well, I definitely need to see a picture of William.
I will send you one. He looks adorable right now.
Man child. Well, we have 8 kids between us and we talked about all of them.
We did. That's amazing.
I know. If you guys aren't following us both separately on Instagram, Megan is Megan Francis, M-E-A-G-A-N Francis, and I am Powers of Mine, and we do share little snippets of our kiddos. And then, of course, the Mom Hours on Instagram. But I would love to hear from our listeners about their kids. You guys can just email us and tell us about your kids and tell us
we would love that.
Something great, something hard, and something they're into. And we read them all, and eventually we even reply to them all, although sometimes it takes a while.
Sometimes it takes a while. That's all right.
But yeah, no, we love, and like I said at the top of the show, we need permission sometimes to just brag on our kids, but in this kind of like without an ulterior motive, without a motive to like show the world what kind of great parents we are. Maybe that's it, Megan. Like it's not the bragging isn't like we're not taking credit for this.
None of this is anything we did right. It's just who they are and they're just cool people. I mean, you know, I love finding things to brag on about my kids. I feel like my job as a mom is to be their biggest cheerleader or one of my jobs and to just appreciate them. And
it has nothing to do with taking credit. If you want to take credit for the good stuff, guys, you know you have to take blame for the not so good stuff.
Exactly.
So better just step back, appreciate the good, and admit the hard. And you know, they are their own people. Totally. Well, this was super fun. I did mention some things. I know I mentioned a couple books that I will link up at themomhour.com and Owen's flossing video and anything else we talked about. Go to themomhour.com, look for episode 152. If it's not there, yell at me in a comment, which happens almost every episode. I'm like, oh yeah, you guys are you keep me on my toes.
Right.
This coming Sunday, Megan, we have another More Than Mom coming out. So that'll be fun. Look for that, you guys. All right.
All right.
We'll talk to you guys soon.